and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight, Lord. However many and great multitudes, or however many few, Lord, we worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. And we pray that you would breathe your breath of life on the message tonight, Lord. Lord, we seek your words, not words or opinions of men, but what your word and Holy Spirit would teach our hearts, Lord. And I pray that you would open our hearts tonight to your word, that we would be of a teachable spirit, Lord, and be encouraged in this. We give this all to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, please turn to Mark chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 35. And this is the story of Jesus and the disciples go to the other side. And they get caught in the storm. And Jesus calms the storm. And it's a familiar verse to us. It's a familiar passage. And I say that many times, but sometimes the reason they are familiar to us is because we keep going back to them again and again. And for me, this is one of my favorites, and I feel like I say that a lot too. This is one of my favorite passages of Jesus. And I've spoken on this before, and I actually planned to speak on it a while ago, but you know, God and the Holy Spirit and their good timing and in their great purpose put it off till tonight. And I think the part of it is, you know, we've got many people that are going through trials and going through rough spots right now. And, you know, God knew. God knew when, you know, this may be just for one person. And, you know, it may even be for me too, that things get rough sometimes in life. And, you know, as I've said in this one, the thought that always comes to my mind in this is, you know, just keep rowing the boat. No matter how rough the seas get and how bad things look, just keep rowing the boat. And let's read this passage and then we'll go back through it. Starting at verse 35, it says, "On that day when evening came, he said to them, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up, and Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" And, you know, going back to the beginning, it says on that day. Well, what had happened on that day? This is the day that Jesus is preaching, and he tells them the parable of the sower and soils, and that's a familiar verse to us. And then he explains to him, and he kind of gets on him after that, because they say, well, what does it mean? You know, back in verse 13, he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables?" So Jesus is already getting on him for, "Why? How do you guys not understand what I'm teaching you?" And then he teaches, and then he gets into the boat and says, "We're going to go over to the other side." And, you know, and I think sometimes we read these passages and and what went on in Jesus' life, and we know intellectually that Jesus was fully man and fully God at the same time. But what does that mean? I mean, we see times when Jesus is hungry. We see times when Jesus is thirsty. We see times when Jesus is tired. And yes, he was doing the will of the Father, but he still was a man. He still got tired. He still got wore down. He still got stressed. He never sinned in any of this. I'm sure many times he got frustrated with the disciples. Even, I'm sure, righteously got angry with them. But then we also, I think a piece we forget about it too, is that here the disciples are, we see especially Peter saying dumb thing after dumb thing after dumb thing. But if you put yourself in those shoes, I mean, what at times you have to think, you see all these great things, but then you also see a man. And you get caught up in, because we do this all the time, even in churches, get caught up in having to do the functions of running a church, and sometimes forget why or what's even the big picture. And I know you see disciples infighting with each other. You see, you even see later on, you know, even after Christ has gone to heaven, the apostles disagreeing with each other on things and getting frustrated with each other, and somebody going to work with somebody else, and different, you know, and so there was still this humanity that's going on around this real life, this life that happens while Jesus is doing his ministry. And so it's in that Jesus has been ministering all day, and they've seen a lot of things up to this time. They've seen people healed of leprosy. They've seen people healed. They've seen paralyzed people get up and walk. They've seen Jesus cast out demons. They've seen all this happen, and then they get into the boat, right? So all this in the background leading up to what's going on. And he said, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat just as he was. Well, how, you know, just as he was. Now, God doesn't put extra words in the Bible that don't, you know, we may not grasp fully at the time why they're there. Or it may seem like it's some obscure passage, some obscure fact. Why is that in there? You know, in the Old Testament, there's a passage, and I honestly couldn't even remember tell you where it is, where it says that this man killed this many, 600 people with an ox goad. And there's just one passage about this one guy who killed 600 enemy with a stick. Okay, I can't really give you a great teaching on that, but it's there for a reason. You know, these guys, they did these great things in the name of God. And so when he says, just as he was, well, Jesus was probably tired. I mean, obviously Jesus is tired. And he's been ministering all day, and you know, and they take him, he's tired, they put him in there. And they said there are other boats that went with him. So it wasn't just this one single boat. There's many people that were following him. He had a big following at this. And you gotta remember too, when they in this scenario, these guys that are, you know, this isn't just like Matthew, a bunch of tax collectors that don't know how to sail, that are in this boat. I mean, there are fishermen in this boat that grew up on this sea, grew up on this lake, grew up on this sea, right? And they knew how to handle a boat. They knew how to fish. They knew how to handle the storms that came up. So it had to be a great storm. And what happens is that the sea there is not real big. It's kind of long and narrow. So at the point that they're going across is only just a few miles. So it's not very far that they're going. But it's also in a bowl. It's kind of down in the bottom of a bowl. So what will happen is the winds will come over the mountains, and they'll come down and they'll stir the sea up. And I don't remember exactly how high they said that the waves would get, but the waves would get really tall. And it's because of the winds that come down the side. And it said it arose a fierce gale, right? So this is the winds that are coming down the mountainside. And the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. So you have this boat that's getting tossed and turned. And they look back, and what's Jesus do? He's asleep. Now, I've been on a couple of sea ferries where we got caught in a storm. And, you know, you look out the little windows that we're on, and the only thing you see is sky, sea, sky, sea, sky, sea. And it wasn't a lot of fun. And you're on the back of the boat trying to watch the horizon so you don't get sick. But it's not a fun ride. So I can't imagine this little, and that's on a big, big boat that, you know, I wasn't really ever worried about sinking. But I can't imagine being on a little wooden boat where all you see is sky, sea, and the water's coming over the sides. And they were, and it was already filling up, and Jesus himself was in the stern asleep. So Jesus is in the back of the boat on a cushion asleep. And it says they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Now, I find it interesting that they call him teacher at this point, right? Instead of like, "Hey, we're dying," right? They take the time to call him teacher. So what's this with teacher, right? Why didn't they use master or something else, you know? But I think that it has to do with that he's been teaching all day, right? He's been ministering to people. But they're still taking time to recognize his authority, even in their trial. Even though they're scared, they make sure they take the time to recognize his authority. They say, "Do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, I know I've been like this a couple of times, at least in my life, where you're going through something and you're praying and you take it to God and you don't see any response. It doesn't seem like there's any answer from God. And we may not think it, we may not say it audibly. And again, we may know that God's there and that God is listening. But the attitude that we have, or the feelings that we have, are, "God, where are you? Don't you care that this is happening? When are you going to fix this? When are you going to make this right? When are you going to vindicate me?" Whatever it is, right? You even see in heaven, it's one of the most amazing scenes that we get a little glimpse of. It says the martyrs are there asking, "When will we be avenged? When will we be avenged?" Right? So we do this in our life. We take things to God and we don't seem like we're getting an answer. And we go, "God, where are you? Are you asleep? Don't you care that this is happening?" And many times we can give intellectual assent to, we know that God knows all the hairs on our head. We know that God hears our prayers. But sometimes that's different than living it out. We can know something in our heads, but in our hearts, are we living out that same faith? And in this time, you see the disciples falling a little short. God, they look back. Jesus is asleep. Now, I think part of that is because of the humanity that he has, right? That he's been working all day. He's been ministering to people all day, and he's tired. Right? As a man, he's worn out. So he's asleep. You got to really be tired and really be stressed to sleep when you're getting water splashed on you. Right? And it's a rough ride. But it's also time we see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's sweating blood because of the stress that he's under. Now, I've never been so stressed that I've sweat blood before. And I've probably never been so tired that you could splash me with water on a rough boat and I would still be asleep. All right. But I think part of that is that that's how much Jesus poured out his humanity of who he was. Right. Everything that he did was to glorify God. And he gave everything that he had as a man to do the will of the Father. Even to the point where he would wear himself out so much that when he went to sleep, you could put him on a rough boat and splash him with water and he would still sleep through it. That's how much he was about doing the will of the Father. So they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" Like, they're not even like, "We're going to have to swim a little bit," but no, "We're going to die. Don't you care?" They don't say, "Well, the boat's going to sink." No, they go all the way to the end. "This is so bad, we are going to die." If the fishermen that grew up on the sea, if that's the point that they're at, this is a bad storm. And we can get to that point sometime in our lives too. This is so bad, I'm going to die. And sometimes that's real. You can get, I mean, we pray for people all the time that are sick, that are dealing with cancer, that are dealing with many different things in their life. Don't you care that we are going to die? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." Almost like he's like, I get this image of him like talking to a child. You know, "Hush, be still." The simple little thing that I, you know, and whether, however he said it, however loud he said it, but I kind of get this idea of like he knew the, obviously he knew the authority that he had. And it wasn't this strong, like he's shaking his fist at the ocean and is like in a loud, boisterous voice commanding it to be still, right? I think he just got up and looked at, "Hush, be still." And it says the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried this idea of the sea going from this tumultuous storm to where even these seasoned fishermen are afraid to die, to perfectly calm. Now, it isn't even like the sea, the wind just went away, right? You can't say that, well, the wind just happened to die at that time. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to carry like a tray of water or a pot of water. When you carry it and it sloshes around and you set it down, it still keeps moving. So even if the wind just would have died down, the sea would have still been moving. But it doesn't. It goes from the storm to perfectly still in an instant. And God can do that in our lives too. And in an instant, in a word. And we see it in shortly before this in Mark is another one of my favorite passages. I mean, I got a lot of favorite passages, but when Jesus heals the man with the withered hand, and he's looking at the Pharisees and he says, and they're waiting to see if he's going to heal him, and he says, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it and his hand's made whole. So there's many times, just a word from God, the power that God has to speak things into existence, even in Genesis. "Let there be light." Bow! And the entire universe is in just a few words. And it's the same here. "Hush, be still." Where I died down, it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid?" And he sees that that these men are going through this storm and they're scared. They think they're going to die. Jesus comes up, makes it completely calm. Things go from this great gale force, wind, storm, water sloshing in there to perfectly calm. And he asks them why they're afraid. "Do you still have no faith?" Well, what did they not have faith in? I mean, they had faith they were going to die. They had faith that the storm was going to kill them. They had faith in what they could see. But what is he rebuking them for? Do you still not have faith? Faith in what? Well, what did he tell them when they got in the boat? "Let's go to the other side." So Jesus says another place, he says, "I go to my Father to prepare a house for you. I wouldn't tell you it if it wasn't true." So if Jesus says, "We're going to the other side," it doesn't matter what happens between when you leave and when you get there. The faith is in, Jesus said, "We're going to get there, so we're going to get there." That's the faith that he wants them to have. The faith that he wants to have, look, if I said it's true, if I said we're going to do it, then it's going to happen. Then we need to do it. So he asks, "Why are you scared?" "Well, Jesus, the storm was..." "Well, yeah, but what did I say? I said we're going to the other side, so we're going to make it to the other side." And I think about that, I says, you know, ultimately in our lives, no matter what we go through, where are we going to end up? Jesus said he's making a place for us with his Father. We're going to go to heaven. That's what we have to have faith in. It can be a rough ride between then and now, or now and then. It could be a storm. You could be afraid of dying. And you know what? You could die. But where do we need to have our faith? Our faith is in the fact that Jesus has said we're going to go to heaven if we put our faith in him. If we believe what he said, we're going to go to heaven. What does Jesus say for us? If you believe in me, then you get to see the Father. Right? If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. That's what Jesus has told us. That's what we got to have faith in. We just got to do what he says. This is just like I say with this. All the disciples had to do was keep on going. It's a rough ride. It's not always going to be fun. What did Jesus also promise us? Look, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. A servant is not greater than his master. We don't get to pick and choose what Jesus said too. And he doesn't always let us in on how rough or how good things are going to be. Sometimes he tests our faith in that. Right? We have tests that we have, just like the disciples. I mean, Jesus could have said, hey, we're going to the other side. Listen, there's going to be a big storm, but don't worry about it. We're going to make it. Right? He doesn't tell them that. He just says, we're going to the other side. And when they wake him up because they're scared, don't you care that we're not going to make it? Yeah. But also in that, what did he do? He answered their prayer. Listen, we're going to die. We need you. What did he do? He calmed the storm. He still answered their prayer. But I like this, right? What does he say after that? They were afraid of the storm. Now they see Jesus calm the storm. And then what does it say? They became very much afraid. Right? So they were scared before. Now they're very scared. And said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I think that's part of this whole where their human emotions and their human intellect get in the way sometimes. They've seen all these miraculous things happen. And when, and that takes me back to when Jesus, when the paralytic was lowered through the roof, right? And the Pharisees are standing there watching, and he says, your sins are forgiven you. And they're like, well, only God can forgive sins. And he says, listen, I'm going to prove to you that I am who I say that I am. He said, what's easier to say, that your sins are forgiven or to tell a paralytic to get up and walk? Because if I tell you your sins are forgiven, we don't see any physical manifestation of that, right? We don't get to see that played out until eternity, that a man is forgiven. You can say somebody's forgiven. Okay, well, nothing. We don't see any change at the moment. So Jesus says, just so you know, I am who I say I am. Pick up your litter and go home. And the guy is healed and he gets up and he walks out. So they see this again play out where they've seen all these miraculous things, but then Christ in a few words can turn a dangerous storm into perfect calm. And how? What's their reaction? Now they're really scared. What does Isaiah say when he saw God, right? Woe to me, I'm undone. He couldn't take it. When the disciples on the shore and they pull up the fish, and he runs to Jesus and says, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's the proper response. When we see God's majesty in Christ's lordship over everything, that's the fear. It says the beginning of fear is the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. It's not this fear like, oh my goodness, he's going to strike me down with a thunderbolt. But it's that proper fear in the right place for somebody who's in authority. You know, I said it many times growing up. I said, you know, I wouldn't do some stupid things. Did plenty of stupid things growing up. But some things I knew I couldn't cross that line. And it wasn't that I wasn't scared of the cops. I was scared of my dad. I was more scared of him than I was anybody else. Now, I knew my dad loved me. I knew he probably wouldn't kill me, thanks to Mom. But still, that's where my fear was, right? But that's a good, healthy fear. Fear's not a bad thing. Sometimes fear keeps you from doing some really stupid stuff. And that's even true with us and God, right? We know God loves us. But we fear God in the sense that if we cross him, we know he's holy and just, and he's not going to put up with it. The same way I knew growing up with, you know, if I crossed Dad, it wasn't going to be good. So we became very much afraid, said to one another, who is this then that even the wind and the sea obey him? And I think the point that I really want to make with this, and I touched on it before, but this to me is not this story of, see those dumb disciples, they got it wrong again. I mean, there's plenty of that going on, and plenty of that throughout those that they just don't seem to get it sometimes, but so many times we're like that. We get caught in these storms in life. And we may not say it audibly, but how many times do we think, God, where are you? Why are you not answering my prayers? Where are you in this situation, God? Are you asleep? Don't you hear what's going on? How can you see what's going on and not react? How can you sleep at the back of the boat and not fix it? But God's told us already. Listen, in the big picture, in the end, he's already told us we're going to go to heaven. It can be a rough road between now and then. But all we have to do is keep going. All we have to do is keep running the race with a word, whatever the situation is. God can heal it. God can fix the situation. It's also that peace. I mean, we do have to pray. We do got to take it to him. He's not just going to act on his own. He didn't hear. They had to wake him up. God's not asleep, but he wasn't getting splashed and be like, oh, this is ridiculous. You know, hush, be still. I'm going back to sleep. I mean, they had to take it to him first. So since too, we got to pray about it. We got to take it to God. But at the same time, not in fear. But knowing that we have a great high priest, like we talked about on Sunday, who has made a way for us to take our problems to the Father. And we need to have faith that he's going to answer it in his good time and according to his good will. And we also need to be like Christ in this, in the sense that when we're going through this, right? Going through life, when we're doing what we need to do, we're walking the walk, we're running the race. Do it with everything that you have. just like he did. You know, when the last time? When the last time that we prayed till we're exhausted? We've ministered to people until we're exhausted. And no matter what happens, he's already said we're going to make it to the other side. We just need to keep rowing the boat. And at the fear, you know, at the chance of sounding a little too cartoonish, you know, just like Dory, just keep rowing. Because he's already said we're going to make it to the other side. No matter what you're going through, no matter how much you feel like God's not there, that God hasn't answered, that God doesn't care, he does. He collects up every one of your prayers. He'll answer it when the time is right, according to his good will. With just a word, he can fix it. In the storm, hush, be still. Be cleansed. Stretch out your hand. Let there be light. Just a word from God, he can set the whole situation right. So take heart. We're going to make it. We're all going to make it to the other side. We just got to keep rowing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, Lord. And I thank you for everyone who's here. I thank you for everyone who is listening to this, Lord, who will listen. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage their hearts. Encourage our hearts, Lord. That no matter how dark this world gets, no matter how bad the situations are that we're going through, Lord, we know that you're not asleep. We know that you see what we're going through, that you hear our prayers, Lord, and pray that you would teach our souls to be strong and to have faith, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint, Lord. We know that you're there, and with a word you can right every wrong, Lord, and that you can fix every situation that we're in, Lord. We pray that we would always take it to you in prayer and not lose faith, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.